Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to First Mover, presented by Underdog Fantasy. We're live, as I mentioned on the stream before that little intro. We're going to begin this show with a victory lap. I don't do a ton of the big victory laps on this program, but we're going to kick it off with one. It's going to be the process behind Sony Michel and why I had him as an RB1 in my projections. In the rankings, why I made a big tweet all about how Sony Michel is an RB1. Doesn't matter, Henderson, active, not active. You need to fire up Sony Michel for week 13, and he had himself a day. And Matt and I actually talked earlier, because he was asking me why I was so fixated on Sony Michel for week 13. And he was like, oh, that Sony Michel did really well. But why don't you elaborate on your process, unless it was just a pure hot take? And it would have been fun if it was a pure hot take, but there was a real process behind Sony Michel. I will explain. There were three components that went into this as to why Sony Michel was a smash. Component number one, Darrell Henderson. Wednesday, did not practice. Thursday, did not practice. Friday, limited. So Michel, he's getting the first team reps. Henderson, barely practicing. Number two, they're facing Jacksonville. It's an easy win. The spread was like 12 points in Rams' favor. In LA, did anyone even think Jacksonville had a puncher's chance in this one? I certainly didn't. So there's just no need to push Henderson to his limits, let him recover from whatever his injury was. I forget exactly what it was, some kind of lower body injury. Now, the part three, and this one is super important, and that is there's no running back depth in Los Angeles. The Rams have nothing. So what was behind Sony Michel? Because we know it's Henderson and Michel. Well, as you all know, obviously, so sad. I still think about it sometimes. It makes me sad. Cam Akers, he's tore his Achilles. It's okay. Other running backs on the roster, though. Jake Funk, torn hamstring out for the season. So we got Akers and we got Funk out of the picture. Buddy Howell, thigh injury. He went on IR Friday, December 3rd. More people should have been talking about this because that's just one more depth piece gone from the running back room. The next man up was... I'm actually not quite sure how to pronounce his name. Mekhi? Sargent? M-E-K-H-I. Sargent. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. Mekhi. He's a 2021 undrafted free agent. He's 208 pounds. He ran a 4.74. The guy is he's a small plotter. Not very productive on the ground in college. Not a strong pass catcher. He played in 8 games his final year at Iowa at 23 years old. And Mekhi Sargent had 76 carries in those 8 games, so under 10 carries a game. And how many receptions? He had 1 reception. Gross. This is not the guy that you want to have to rely on. So why push Henderson if he's already injured? Just give the start to Michel. Let Henderson recover. I couldn't believe there were people out there touting Darrell Henderson, even saying, you can check my Twitter timeline. I have some nice little screenshot receipts of Adam Azer, big analyst at CBS, who was recommending that you should start Darrell Henderson, even put out a poll that was, should you start Devin Singletary or Sony Michel? I couldn't believe it. And this was right before the games kicked off on Sunday. Sony Michel was a smash RB1 for the 3 reasons that I mentioned. And I think that's important because sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know how to handle these injuries. I've got a hunch this way or that way. But there were these 3 reasons that I was very confident in as to why Sony Michel was going to get all the touches against the Jaguars, which he did. Darrell Henderson was quote-unquote active. He was active on game day. No touches. I haven't looked at our game charters yet, but I imagine Darrell Henderson didn't even play a snap. Cody's in the chat. He might be able to say whether or not Henderson even saw the field. I don't even think he saw the field. And I played a lot of Sony Michel in DFS as well. Unfortunately, the field was sharp. The field played a good amount of Sony Michel as well. But I wasn't quite sure how popular Michel would be. You just never know with risk aversion and what people think about that. But it reminded me a lot about when I played Gronk around a month ago. It was the game that Gronk played 5 snaps and then he had back spasms and exited. And then I just thought, when will I ever get to play Rob Gronkowski at 4K in DFS when the rest of the field is not playing Rob Gronkowski? I played a lot of Rob Gronkowski that week. He played 5 snaps, 0 fantasy points, crushed my lineups that had him in it. With Sony Michel, though, I thought, you know what? We're doing it again. We're playing a lot of Sony Michel. I don't think Darrell Henderson's going to get much, if any, work. He's only 4,300 on DraftKings, 5,300 on FanDuel. And I thought, if Darrell Henderson were ever 4,300 on DraftKings against Jacksonville, I mean, I'd be jamming him in at least half my DFS lineups. And I use that level, that line of thinking to go, okay, Sony Michel is going in a lot of my DFS lineups this past weekend. Now, another guy that I want to talk about, Cody just said, 0 snaps for Darrell Henderson, 97% snap share Sony Michel. What a smash. Love it. Now, one more guy that I want to discuss is Josh Jacobs. So even before the Drake injury, Kenyon Drake broke his ankle, out for the season. It's really unfortunate, honestly. I thought Drake, it was kind of fun to see how long his career would last because he'd always kind of been like a change of pace, seemingly underutilized in Miami. He had that breakout half season with the Cardinals, which led to that kind of bloated one-year contract with the Cardinals where he kind of underperformed. Was excited to see how Vegas would use him. It's unfortunate, season's over. I would say probably his career in the NFL is over too. I believe he's 27 and a half, 28. So if you're in that range, you break your ankle, probably done. Now with Jacobs, even before I knew Drake was injured, it's week 13 rankings projections time. I had Jacobs as a low end RB1 for week 13. And you might have also noticed Jacobs was starting to rise a little bit in the dynasty rankings, even before the Drake injury happened. Josh Jacobs, rookie year, he had 2 targets a game. Year 2, Josh Jacobs had 3 targets a game. Year 3, this year, before week 13, when he had 9 targets, before the week started, he was still averaging 4 targets a game. So 2 targets a game, 3 targets a game, 4 targets a game. We started to notice he starts to go up a little bit in the dynasty rankings. He's not even 24 yet. He's getting a little bit of a role expansion. And the routes compared to Kenyon Drake, they'd also been rising prior to week 13. And why I mentioned on a couple podcasts last week that Josh Jacobs didn't have a 20 fantasy point game this year yet. Weeks 10 through 12, the routes. Josh Jacobs ran 17, 19, 26 routes. Kenyon Drake ran 8, 6, and 4. So we're looking at an average of 21 routes a game for Jacobs and about 6 for Kenyon Drake. So right now you might see some dynasty services. They're freaking out. They're realizing Josh Jacobs has some more upside now. We should start to bump him up because of the Drake injury. And, I mean, of course, Jacobs is going to get boosted in our own dynasty rankings as well. But it's important to note that this process began a couple weeks ago when we started slowly raising his lifetime value rating on Player Profiler. Check out our dynasty rankings. And I think that's really important to note that, yes, of course, the gut reactions are easy. Kenyon Drake injured, Josh Jacobs, boop. Pump him up in the dynasty rankings. But that role change looks real. And that's why, who's the next guy up there? Probably, I don't know, is it Jalen Richard's going to get some more touches? I don't know. He's a pass catching back. But that's why I'm not particularly concerned. Josh Jacobs had already been carving out the pass catching role in Vegas. Now, one more. I'm really passionate about this part. I have to say, people still are not stacking enough in DFS. I'm still seeing a lot of very lightly correlated lineups. And I believe, we'll pause for a second. Cody is agreeing. Cool. Cody also, Jalen Richard, the pass catcher, with Peyton Barber mixing in a couple carries. But yeah, do I think Jalen Richard is going to be the nuisance to Jacobs that he'd been in prior seasons? No. All right, back to stacking in DFS. So Week 13, I think it's so instructive to really drive home the point that you have to be heavily stacking to do well in DFS. And let's just get right into it. Let's just talk about the quarterbacks who had over 20 fantasy points in week 13 so far. I'm recording this about an hour before Monday Night Football, but I think it's safe to say Josh Allen and Mac Jones with this weather are both less likely than most other quarterbacks to hit 20 fantasy points in this contest. So here's the 20 plus fantasy point quarterbacks from week 13. We've got Kyler Murray, who had he had 30.8 fantasy points. No strong receiver performances, very strange game, barely any passing yardage, two rushing touchdowns. Connor had a touchdown reception. He was the RB11 on the week, 19 fantasy points. Overall, pretty weird, right? Kyler Murray, Josh, your example sucks. You start off with Kyler Murray, the overall QB1 on the week, and there's no stacking partners. What are you doing, dude? Pause. All right. Let's look at the other seven quarterbacks now, because sure, we missed one. Kyler, great. What were you going to do? Play naked Kyler Murray in DFS and then run it back with David Montgomery? That was a good play. Were you doing that? Because in hindsight, that was the move. I can pretty much guarantee nobody out there was like, I want to play naked Kyler Murray with David Montgomery. So let's move on to lineups that you could have actually made, and that using the lineup genius from our DFS optimizer, playerprofiler.com, check out our DFS module, then you would be able to see that we're trying to guide you towards stacks. That's why if you team sort on the main menu and choose your quarterback, we float the stack and run back options towards the top for you to kind of guide you and say, hey, when you're including players pre-optimization, here's some good players to include. And also note, as I mentioned this on the Big Tilt, you can now edit your DFS lineups from our optimizer post-optimization. So you optimize a lineup and you go, oh, you know, I want to swap the defense, or I want to swap the run back to the other guy. You can now late swap post-optimization and still favor and upload those lineups. It's one of the coolest new features we've rolled out. We got more features coming out for the DFS Dominator for week 14, and you're just going to have to wait and see what they are. I'll talk about them on the Big Tilt when I record with Mike Randall on Friday night. Anyway, Kyler Murray, bad example. Okay, fine. The non-stackers got one. QB2 on the week, Brady. Tom Brady, 29.6 fantasy points. Other Buccaneers that also, this is random chance, right? That Brady does well and some other Buccaneers do well. We shouldn't be stacking and putting in other players from the Buccaneers with Brady, right? All right, Uncle Lenny, he's going to be moving up in the rest of season rankings, by the way. I mean, how do you not at this point, rest of season, have JT RB1 and then Eckler and Fournette kind of jostling for the RB2, RB3 spot? It's probably those three guys up there, right? Anyway, we got Lenny, RB5 on the week, 22 fantasy points. Godwin, wide receiver 3 on the week, 30 fantasy points. Mike Evans, wide receiver 18 on the week, 17 fantasy points. Rob Gronkowski, tight end 3, 22 fantasy points. QB3 on the week, Herbert, 26.3 fantasy points. Eckler, RB13 on the week, 17 points. Keenan Allen, wide receiver 7 on the week, 22 points. Guyton, wide receiver 14 on the week, 19 fantasy points. Mike Williams, wide receiver 20, 16 points. Then we had Taysom Hill, who does his damage on the ground, 24.7 fantasy points. But still, Deontay Harris, 20 fantasy points, wide receiver 10 on the week. Matthew Stafford, the next quarterback, he was the QB5 this week, 24 fantasy points. Sony Michel, RB7, 22 points. Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 5, 27 points. Van Jefferson, wide receiver 19 with 16 fantasy points. Do you notice a pattern? Very often, there's 2 to 4 guys that also get there with the quarterback. Zach Wilson, he had 22 fantasy points. And Elijah Moore was the wide receiver 9 on the week with 21 points. Jared Goff, the QB7, 20.9 fantasy points. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver 6 on the week with 25 points. And TJ Hawkinson, the tight end 4 with 15 fantasy points. Finally, the last quarterback over 20 fantasy points was Kirk Cousins. Alexander Mattison, RB8, 21 fantasy points. Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver 1 on the week, 36 fantasy points. And Tyler Conklin, tight end 6 on the week, 13 fantasy points. Whew. Stacking your quarterbacks allows you to make fewer decisions. When I play Brady in my DFS lineups, I'm always double stacking him because when he gets there in DFS, there's usually four players on that team who also get there. We had Fournette, Godwin, Evans, Gronk all get there. I mean, who, if you had to choose the four best players to play with Brady, it would have been Lenny, Godwin, Evans, and Gronk. The Buccaneers are too easy to stack. So if Tom Brady's not in your quarterback pool every week, you're a DFS sucker. And I mean that. Stacking allows for fewer decisions, fewer places to be wrong. When I put Brady in my DFS lineup, I've already taken up 3 of my 9 slots. That's 33% of my lineup is already done. Just Brady, Evans, Gronk, Brady, Godwin, Gronk, Brady, Fournette, Godwin. You can just spit out a few combinations of double stacks. If you just hit those double stacks that involve Fournette, Evans, Gronk, Godwin, you're probably making money on that lineup. Because basically every other week, Brady's getting there in DFS. If you're double stacking him, then every other week, you're pretty much guaranteeing that you're going to have a lineup making noise in a major tournament. Now, before we dive into week 14, note that this week, I have a underdog fantasy player prop guide. I've been mentioning it for weeks. It is finally ready. I sent it off to the editing team. We're going to be releasing that very soon, and it's really going to help all of you out there with underdog fantasy, the strategy behind it, understanding what it takes to be profitable playing those pick-em games. And after you read that guide, you're going to be very tempted to be playing some underdog fantasy if you haven't signed up already. And if you haven't signed up, promo code UNDERWORLD gets you up to a $100 instant deposit match for new users. Check out that Sophomores Juniors tournament that I've been talking about for best ball. Play some pick'em games. Every single week you can draft a team and it's kind of like a DFS contest. So week 14, got some very fun games to stack. You're going to have the snake draft and you can hyper target players from a couple teams and enter it into that snake draft DFS tournament. Underdog fantasy. All right. Week 14, we got 4 teams on bye. The Eagles, Colts, Dolphins, Patriots, not on the slate, not playing. We do have 11 games on the main slate though for DFS. We've got the Cowboys at the Washington football team. 48.5 point game total. Dallas favored by about 4 points in this one. Definitely like the Cowboys side of this. I don't think he's a great play this week. Might have some Heineke in my quarterback pool. It's pretty early, but definitely going to have Dak. The football team is the worst secondary in the NFL right now. They're allowing them basically the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. You're going to want some Dak Prescott this week. Also, Amari Cooper should be fully healthy, no snap count. It's just, there's a lot of good stuff going on right now. I don't know what's going on with Zeke, but he has 10 days because of Thursday Night Football, so we'll have 10 days rest before this game. Big things for the Cowboys offense. Now we've got the Falcons at the Panthers, 43-point game total. Panthers favored about a field goal. Not a great-looking game. I might just keep going back to the well because I hate myself and play another 5-7 Matt Ryan lineups. Just a very consolidated offense. It's Ryan, it's Patterson, it's Gage, and it's Pitts. Nobody else of consequence there. With the Panthers, it's probably going to play, assuming he's the starter, which it seems like, it's probably going to play a little Cam Newton, DJ Moore, skinny stacks. Not necessarily the best quarterback to double stack. Probably going to have a little bit of Cam just because he's inexpensive, but don't love it. Next game, though, Seahawks at the Texans. 42-point game total, very low. Seahawks on the road favored by over a touchdown. However, going to have Russell Wilson stacks. I'll keep going back to the well on Russell Wilson. We have a 9-year track record of him being awesome in fantasy. And I'm going to talk about why his stat line should have been higher in just a little bit. Next, we have this game. I think this one's just going to be kind of like a bloodbath, not really in a good way for fantasy. The Ravens at the Browns, divisional game. A lot of playoff implications here. Only 42.5 point game total. Browns favored by about 2.5, just under a field goal. It's not a great game environment. Neither offense has looked very good recently. We'll probably have a little bit of Lamar in my quarterback pool just because he's cheaper this week. And I still believe, but just not a great game environment. Next one, another bad game environment. Don't worry, there's a few good ones coming up. But it's the Jaguars at the Titans, 44 game total. Titans favored by 9.5. I mean, the problem that I see with this one is, do I think Tannehill can have a decent game? He probably will, right? It's the Jaguars. But Tannehill's tough to stack. Who are you, I mean, Nick Westbrook, Keane? Akine? I don't know. Are you going to throw Dontrell Hilliard in there? You're going to put one of those tight ends or those other receivers? I just don't love these stacking options. So even if I think Tannehill's has a good chance to hit 20 fantasy points in this one, it's just not. It's like I said, the whole point of stacking is you minimize what you need to get right. I just don't even know who to stack Tannehill with necessarily, and that's worrisome to me. When there's other quarterbacks on the slate that I do know who to stack with and who should be in more back and forth, higher scoring matchups, like Vegas at the Chiefs. Rematch of what was a pretty fruitful fantasy performance for the Chiefs, especially from a few weeks ago. 48.5 point game total, Chiefs favored by 9. Do you remember that game? I talked about it. Basically, everyone got there in DFS. Darrell Williams, huge game. Kelce, Hill, huge games. Byron Pringle even got there. Mahomes threw, I think he threw 5 touchdowns in that game. Yeah, it's definitely a game I'm looking at. Raiders offense competent enough to help sustain the shootout. Definitely a game I will have heavy exposure to. We've got the Saints at the Jets. 43.5 game total. Saints favored by about 6. Probably have a little Taysom Hill. He's cheap. Tough to stack. Maybe I'll have naked Taysom Hill. I'm not quite sure. And then just hyper-correlate elsewhere, potentially. It's tough. Because the thing with Taysom Hill was he wasn't even really getting there in fantasy. It was that like 75 or 80-yard weird slant pass that he threw to Deontay Harris at the end of the game that he housed. That's why Deontay Harris had a big stat line. That's why Taysom Hill had a good stat line. Remember, Taysom Hill had 4 interceptions in that game. So I think with Hill, probably the rare quarterback where maybe you throw in a little Callaway or you throw in a little Traquan stack, but I think you could probably just leave it and just play some naked Hill against a terrible Jets defense. Next, we have the Lions at the Broncos. Just say no to this game, kids. 42-point game total. Broncos favored by 8. I just do not like a whole lot about this game. Yeah, the Broncos defense is probably good enough to hold back the lowly Lions. The Broncos offense just doesn't really generate fantasy points for anyone except Javonte Williams when Melvin Gordon is out. And it looks like Gordon will probably be playing in week 14. Next, we have the Giants at the Chargers. 45.5 point game total. Chargers favored by 10. Let's fire up some Herbert double stacks just like last week. Like I said, the Williams salary came down last week, which was fun. So we could just cram in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams into DFS lineups. Those lineups did pretty well this past week. Little tough to run it back. You might just throw in Saquon or something or go no run back. We'll have to see as the week progresses what's going on. It looks like Jake Fromm might be getting the start. Signed him off of Buffalo's practice squad. Daniel Jones, neck strain, still can't take contact. Mike Glennon, concussion, all bad for the Giants. Not a game that I want too much Herbert in just because of this gross game environment, but going to have a little bit of exposure. Next, this one, another fun game, which is the Niners at the Bengals. 47.5 point game total, one of the higher totals on the slate. Bengals favored by 1.5, which means it's basically a pick 'em. And I like that. I like the very narrowly, they're evenly matched teams, narrow spread with this one. Really like Joe Burrow stacks. We'll talk about that a little later. This is a good game to stack. We saw the big game from Kittle, could be an Ayuk week, Mitchell's total bell cow, especially if Debo misses this week as well. Just such a consolidated offense on both sides, easy to stack and run back. And then finally, potentially the game of the season so far. I've said that a couple times now. I mean it once again. We just keep having a new game of the season every 3 to 5 weeks. It is the Buffalo Bills at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, Josh Allen versus Tom Brady. My goodness. 52.5 point game total. Buccaneers favored by a field goal. Ooh, we're going to be stacking that game, right, folks? All right, on DraftKings at the top, we got Patrick Mahomes, 8K versus Vegas. Great play. Josh Allen and Tom Brady. 7,800 for Allen, 7,600 for Brady playing each other. Going to have heavy exposure to this game. Double stacks all day. Lamar Jackson, 7,400 at Cleveland. The price came way down. And he still has some great weaponry. So, going to be going back to the well with Lamar. He can't just keep having duds, right? I mean, also, like, if he gets there in DFS, it's probably due to 3 players. Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews, and maybe Rashad Bateman. Though even with Bateman, his snap count's lowered, his production's lowered recently. And the Lamar double stack sitting in your lap is really Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. Just pair him up with Lamar. See what happens. Justin Herbert, only 7,100 against the Giants. I think the Chargers just dominate this one. There's going to be a lot of scoring. The Chargers are not really a team to kind of pump the brakes. I mean, if you've watched any Chargers game this year, it's a fast-paced team. They pass a lot in any and all game situations, like Herbert. And then we got Dak Prescott, 6,700 at Washington, the worst secondary in the NFL. Fire up Dak Prescott. A little lower, we got Russell Wilson, 6,600 at Houston. He's hovered close to 20 fantasy points the past 2 weeks. And if everything clicks again, finally, for this offense, watch out. Remember, we've got this 9-year track record of Russell Wilson being good in real life and for fantasy. Also, he would have had 3 passing touchdowns in week 13, well over 20 fantasy points, but Gerald Everett bobbled a touchdown pass, an obvious touchdown pass that then became an interception. Next, I like Joe Burrow, 6K versus the Niners. It's a bad secondary, but a decent run defense. We've got Derek Carr, 5,900 at Kansas City. This is a great spot for him. As I've mentioned several times on this podcast, from work that we have done this past offseason, thanks to one of our analytics interns, Neil Gupta, we collaborated and we found that when a quarterback is projected for a lot of fantasy points, this is naturally going to raise the floor and ceiling of the other quarterback. It's very likely Patrick Mahomes, he's projected for a lot of fantasy points. He's probably going to score a lot of fantasy points. And that means Derek Carr is going to have to keep the Raiders offense moving. Probably a lot of pass attempts from them. Raises the ceiling and the floor of Derek Carr. Good play, 5,900. Next, Taysom Hill, 5,600 at the Jets. Yeah, probably some naked Taysom Hill. You might be saying, oh, Josh, please recommend Deontay Harris, the situational gadget guy. He had that long touchdown. DUI out 3 games due to suspension. No Deontay Harris. Now we've got Taylor Heinicke, 5,500 versus Dallas. I think he's in play as well. Could be a high scoring one. Dropping a little lower. I like Cam Newton. As I mentioned before, 5,400 versus Atlanta. Atlanta's defense just so bad. On FanDuel, Josh Allen's the highest priced quarterback, 8,800. We've got Brady, who's QB4 at 8,200. And Lamar at QB6, 7,900. I don't know. I'd probably center my quarterback pool with Allen and Brady, Lamar pretty heavily featured on FanDuel. Running back, our man Austin Eckler is at the top of the salary on DraftKings. And on FanDuel, it's pretty exciting for him. Good for Eckler. 8,300 versus the Giants. And as you may have heard, if you haven't heard, now you've heard, we are partnered with the Austin Eckler Foundation. So you can go to playerprofiler.com, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see at the footer, you can click the Austin Eckler Foundation logo, and it takes you to a place if you want to watch a little video Austin made, if you want to donate. What we are working towards for this season, we're collecting some money via donations, and this is going to go towards football programs in the area near the kind of the Inglewood area where the Chargers play, lower income area. And we're going to help purchase some new football gear for a lot of the students there. Because what's a great way to keep kids out of trouble as they're growing up, especially ones with difficult home life situations? It's by keeping them in organized sports activities, developing friendships, learning how to be part of a team, playing football together, and this type of regimented after-school program like playing on the football team is so helpful for so many individuals. And I mean, if anyone knows it better than anyone else, it's Austin Eckler, who knows how the sport of football can change your life and keep you on an incredible path for your life. Austin Eckler Foundation, check it out. At running back, we go down. I do believe Alvin Kamara returns in this week, week 14. 7,900, he's facing the Jets. I know people are probably not going to play him because they're worried about Taysom Hill. I think against the Jets, who have just been absolutely dreadful against any and all running backs, just a terrible defense to begin with, probably going to have to play some Kamara. He could have 3-4 touchdowns in this one. Next, Leonard Fournette, 7,400. He's never expensive enough facing Buffalo. Just you have to play Leonard Fournette every week in DFS. And he's viable in those Brady stacks because, spoiler alert, Leonard Fournette has more receptions than any other running back in the NFL. He's a great guy to pair with Tom Brady. Elijah Mitchell's another guy that caught my eye, 6,700 at the Bengals. 20 or more carries the past 3 games, 8 catches over his past 2 games, total bell cow. DeAndre Swift at Denver, 6,600. If he plays, gonna play some DeAndre Swift. Just such an incredible role when he's healthy. So we'll see. I don't believe he's gonna get shut down. It seems like those rumors are dying out, so we'll see when he returns. Could be week 14. And then if McKissick's out again, I mean, hello, Antonio Gibson, 6K versus Dallas. You want a natural run back for your Dak Prescott stacks? It's Gibson. We got Saquon Barkley, 6K against the Chargers. He had 11 carries and 9 targets from Mike Glennon this past week. Like I said, the non-mobile quarterback was going to be good for his usage. The fantasy points just haven't been there, but how can you fade a guy that's going to be getting 11 carries and 9 targets at only 6,000 with Saquon Barkley's explosiveness? Going to play some Saquon each week. We've seen him flirt with 30 fantasy points this year. Just, it's really tough to say no to Barkley when there's just no other weapons there. He's going to be a featured part of this offense. And it's not like the Chargers have been world beaters against the running backs this year as well. Another guy I like is Josh Jacobs, 6,200 at the Chiefs. I mean, I already talked about him in the intro. Josh Jacobs, you're getting, there's no Kenyon Drake, total bell cow. 6,200 in what should be a high-scoring affair against the Chiefs. Then we got Chuba Hubbard, 5,900 versus Atlanta. Looks like he's going to be the lead back. Let me pull up Abdullah. What was his? So Abdullah, he's 4,800. I also think he's viable just in case they go more pass heavy with their game plan against the Falcons. But I'm a little bit worried Cam Newton, not really the most check down heavy of quarterbacks. So probably leaning Chuba, 5,900 versus Atlanta. I also expect Melvin Gordon to return for Denver. Not interested in Javonte if Gordon suits up. Devonta Freeman, he's 5,700. Haven't mentioned that name before on a podcast, but wow. You look up Devonta Freeman, 10 or more carries the past 5 weeks, 17 targets in that stretch, including 2 games out of the past 5 with 6 or more targets. And he's had 2 games of 20 fantasy points the past 5 weeks. So, yeah, Devonta Freeman looking like not the worst option for DFS. We've got Cody in the chat. He's mentioned him on Undercovered Ops as well. And yeah, it's like the role is it's not half bad. He's got some good matchups coming up this week against the Browns. Just a game that I'm not super interested in. So lower game total, could be kind of slow. Could just be Devonta Freeman ramming the ball 15 to 20 times and getting his getting a few targets in this one. So 5,700. It's too early to know exactly what Tennessee's doing with their running backs, but I am monitoring Dontrell Hilliard at 5,300. And Deonta Foreman at 5,100 against Jacksonville. I'm not really sure what's going on. Let me double check quickly. We're live double checking. Okay, it's like I thought. McNichols is not on IR. He can return for this game. Just not sure what's going to happen. But probably going to want a little Titans exposure against Jacksonville with some running backs. Great game script incoming. FanDuel, we got Eckler at the top, 9,200. We've got, we're chasing touchdowns on FanDuel. I like Fournette. He's in such a good offense, 7,600. Josh Jacobs, 7,100, don't forget about him. And then on FanDuel, I like Tony Pollard at 6,100. It's kind of a dart throw. I don't think Zeke's going to miss the game, but in case he's highly limited again, throw in some Pollard, 6,100. All right, let's turn to wide receiver. DraftKings at the top, we got Tyreek Hill, 8,500 versus Vegas. Good play. Should be game stacking your receivers, but a few standalone receivers that caught my eye. Ja'Marr Chase, 6,900 versus the Niners. The price keeps going down. He bobbled and then got intercepted a pass that would have been a full field touchdown. So he would have had a huge game if that didn't happen. So we know that the A dot is high. The targets are plentiful. Keep going back to Ja'Marr Chase. I like Lockett and Metcalf, both in the 6K range against Houston. I think one of them is going to have a pretty big game against Houston. T. Higgins, 6,400 versus the Niners. His role has been so good. So many targets, back-to-back smash weeks after just seeing a plethora of targets, but not quite having the massive fantasy points weeks. Now back-to-back elite weeks. Keep firing up Higgins. The role is really good. DJ Moore, 6,200 versus Atlanta. I mean, 10 targets week 12 before the bye. He's basically their offense. There's no McCaffrey gobbling up 10 targets via dump-offs. It's also Cam Newton, who's not really as much of a check down quarterback. I expect DJ Moore to feast against the Falcons secondary. I like Elijah Moore, 5,900 versus the Saints. I mentioned this in a tweet at JLarkeyTweets recently. I think it was yesterday, kind of midday. I was just like, my goodness. And I thought, you know, if Elijah Moore had a young quarterback that we knew was really good that he could grow with, a la Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, if Elijah Moore had that, I think you could start to make a case that he should be in the Dynasty wide receiver one conversation. Elijah Moore is just looking like Antonio Brown with no off-the-field issues. just absolutely phenomenal talent. Brandon Ayuk, 5,800 at the Bengals. Debo's out again, then Ayuk could have a massive role. Kittle had the 40% target share this past week, but it could be an Ayuk week. It's a consolidated offense. Like to go back to him there. Beasley and Sanders in the 5K range, both good plays. Should be a lot of points in that Buffalo Buccaneers game. I like Nick Westbrook, Akine, 4,500 versus Jacksonville. Probably the lead guy there in that pass attack. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Tannehill, Westbrook, single stacks? You're going to double stack? Who's the double stack? I don't know. I think he's just a fine solo play at 4,500. He should have 6 to 8 targets in this game. FanDuel, Tyreek Hill is the most expensive, 8,700 versus Vegas. Mike Evans is too cheap, 7,200 versus Buffalo. What, Godwin has a big game and they think, ah, Mike Evans, drop his salary. No. Mike Evans, 7,200 versus Buffalo. Could have a huge game. I believe Tre'Davious White, he's on IR at this point. Pretty sure, so he won't be in this game. Good spot there for Evans. Jamar Chase also on FanDuel, 7,200. Price comes down. I like Ayuk at 6,400 there. 5,800 on DraftKings. Good price on both platforms. Elijah Moore at 6,300 on FanDuel. And you want a really cheap FanDuel wide receiver? I like Gabe Davis, especially as a correlated punt play for a touchdown. He's 4,800. If you want an extra guy for your Buffalo double stacks, it could be Gabe Davis. And even as a solo play at 4,800, I think he's viable here. All right, let's move on to tight end. On DraftKings, Kelce's at the top, 7,400 versus Vegas. It's just a good week in general for an expensive tight end. Because we got Kelce, 7,400. Kittle, 6,900. Kittle just broke the slate. First 2-touchdown game of his career. Good for Kittle. Gronk, 6K. Just too cheap there. And then Andrews, 5,900 at Cleveland. I think those four should be heavily in your rotation. Probably one of those guys is going to get you 20 or more fantasy points this week. Could be multiple. You want some punt plays? Sure. Whoever that Washington tight end is. Logan Thomas out for the season. Hurt his knee. Ricky Seals-Jones, 3,600. John Bates, 3K. Whoever looks like he's going to be the starter, I'd fire that guy up in DFS. One more name. Oh, this is... I always like to talk about when we get to the sexy parts of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We've got James O'Shaughnessy, 2,900. 6 targets versus the Rams. 5 targets the week before versus the Falcons. You're telling me you can get 5 to 6 targets out of a tight end at 2,900? People probably won't play James O'Shaughnessy because they're going to play the expensive tight ends or they're going to play a Washington tight end. On a PPR platform like DraftKings, O'Shaughnessy can get you 10 fantasy points at 2,900 pretty easily. Play some O'Shaughnessy. FanDuel, Kelce at the top, 7,500. Kittle, Gronk, Andrews hovering at 7K. Those are the good plays there. Let's move on to the defense special teams. Chargers at the top, 4,300 against the Giants. And what's Jake Fromm at quarterback? Chargers just going to dominate the Giants. We've got the Saints, 3,600 at the Jets. This could be painful for the Jets. We've got the Seahawks, 3,100 at Houston. The Seahawks, they're not the best defense, but it's such a slow-paced offense. And if you look, most of their games, fairly low totals. They get Davis Mills. Probably going to play some Seahawks defense. And then I mentioned before, I think that Ravens-Browns game is going to be kind of a slog. And I like the Ravens at 2,800 and the Browns at 2,700. Kind of inexpensive defenses where this could just be a low-scoring, brutal affair. And it's in Cleveland. This is the time of year for some bad weather. Could be bad weather. Like those defenses. On FanDuel, 5K Saints versus the Jets are at the top. The one defense that also caught my eye on FanDuel, Kansas City Chiefs, 3,700 against Vegas. And the Kansas City Chiefs defense is actually playing pretty well recently. Their past 5 opponents have all scored under 20 points against them. Wow. Chiefs defense sneakily getting it done. They might get it done again here. All right. That will do it, folks. Let's get you out of here with a nice little larky hot take. And I mentioned I'm going to play a lot of these games that they're really going to cluster, I believe, around that Buccaneers-Bills game and the Chiefs-Raiders game. I think those are going to be two that people cluster around. But don't fall asleep and skip playing Joe Burrow. He's the easiest double stack ever. Burrow, Chase Higgins, there you go. Week 13, Higgins, 14 targets, 32 fantasy points. And also in week 13, Jamar Chase had 8 targets, and he would have had 25 fantasy points if he didn't bobble the easy house touchdown pass on his fly route. Burrow, he's $6,000. The Niners, 22nd in pass DVOA, but number 2 in rush defense. So the Niners have the second best rush defense in the NFL and the 11th worst pass defense. Add on to that, Mixon, he's banged up. I don't even know if he's going to play. He has a potential neck injury. They're going to be cautious with him. I think there's going to be a pass-heavier game script. Make sure to have Joe Burrow firmly in your DFS QB pool for week 14. You want the hot take? Low-owned Joe Burrow, because everyone's going to cluster around those other games. Joe Burrow will take down some tournaments in DFS. Make sure you play Burrow, Chase, Higgins in week 14.